Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast Everyone. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And today is episode 178 of Podcast 2for1, youtube.com/2for1studios, the best place to consume all of our content. And if you didn't know, and listeners, you probably did not, we are sponsored by Kapow Comics, located at 4047 East Kill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. Here they have comic books, collectibles, graphic novels, and of course, special guest appearances throughout the year.
Kapow.
Daniel, it's 178. And
indeed,
last week we dropped Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon with Bruce. These last few weeks we've been doing Ahsoka. And instead of doing Ahsoka again this week, and there's plenty to talk about with Ahsoka,
right?
We've decided to kind of hold off on reviewing these last three episodes and kind of doing like a big recap and hopefully bringing on a very special guest of Podcast 2for1. We'll see what happens.
Indeed.
And in the interim of all that, you and I have been doing some gaming this year.
Very true. In fact, you know, recently, in the past couple of months, I've had some issues that have kept me more couch locked. Which, you know, always sucks, but at the same time, it's really easy to catch up on gaming when you can't move a lot. So, I've been gaming more the past couple months than I have probably in the last couple of years, just in terms of total hours.
Yeah.
I've been spending with it. So,
well, I want us to kind of go over some of the big games we've been playing the last couple of months, but. And to our listeners, we could do a whole episode on each individual game, and it could be a long hour and a half, 2 hour episodes.
Right.
But let's keep it light and frivolous, and let's not go super detailed, because I have about two games I want to talk about. I think you have at least two games you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think there's another little game we want to talk about that is got a refresh.
That's true. Yeah. Yep,
and that, which I think we both want to play. So I'll let you go first. I think
sure.
Keep in mind the conversation of like what is so far your game of the year, if that kind of thing matters to you.
Okay, yeah, sure, absolutely. Starfield. I'll start with Starfield because we talked about Starfield a couple weeks ago on an Ahsoka podcast, I believe. And so I just checked my game save this morning, about 105 hours in Starfield. That's a healthy amount. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm at the point where I've put the game down, and I've picked up Baldur's Gate 3, which I'll get to in a second. But Starfield, I still really love it. And you know, as someone that had a ton of fun in 105 hours, it's hard to complain that this game didn't give me something really great, a great experience. It did. And I think at the same time as I continued to play it, the flaws became more evident. And at this point, I'm kind of saying, well, I've gotten, I think, most of what I can get out of the game in its current state. And I think I'll wait for more DLC and updates to dip back in, probably, which is different for me with Bethesda games, you know, and I've been kind of thinking about it. Bethesda games used to be games that I'd play over and over and over and over for hours and hours, just months on end. And maybe it's I'm getting older. Maybe it's I can buy more games now, so I don't have to worry about, you know, only having one game for hours and hours. But I do, you know, we were talking last time about how Bethesda does all these things in one game. You know, it's an FPS, it's an RPG, it's a dating sim, it's a No Man's Sky like, where you're going around scanning planets and animals and building outposts, right? It's all of these things in one. And especially right now, especially, you know, this will be in the context of Baldur's Gate 3, in the context of Cyberpunk, which we will talk about soon. It's hard not to see those games combined outclassing most of what Bethesda's doing in Starfield, right? And I think it's still fun. It's still a really fun, it's a great game. And I think it has the potential to be amazing. And I think they can potentially, like with updates, really, you know, make the exploration better, less repetitive assets, less repetitive bases that you find on planets and stuff. But as of now, you know, as I'm about to get to, Baldur's Gate 3 came out on Mac, I think about 2 weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. I don't know. Actually, it was last Friday. Wild. And it was impossible for me not to get sucked into that, because I think, let's just get into Baldur's Gate. Okay. Baldur's Gate 3, I think, is the best RPG that's ever been made right now.
Seems like a general consensus across the board.
It's the best one I've ever played. And as someone who has played about four games of D&D, it is such an amazing representation of that. It's literally D&D. You're playing D&D world. Baldur's Gate is in the Forgotten Realms, which is kind of like the D&D world, that lore stuff it's called Forgotten Realms. Like Lord of the Rings has Middle Earth, D&D has Forgotten Realms. And you're actually playing, like when you battle, you take your turn just like you do in D&D. You have movement, you have action, you have a bonus action, you sometimes have reactions to other opponents. Positioning is very important. And so you've got that. We've got I would say if anyone wants to get into D&D, go play Baldur's Gate 3. You'll have a really good idea of kind of how it works, especially the combat, which is kind of the most technical part of the most kind of mathy and kind of, you know, just kind of technical and maybe a little bit difficult to grasp that part. It's really easy to grasp in this game. But the big thing for me is as a role-playing game, as far as characters that are in your party, you know, it's kind of like Mass Effect where you've got a bunch of characters that can be in your party, but you only take three of them at a time with you, right? And so you've got a camp you can go back to and they all hang out there, just like on the Normandy in Mass Effect. And so you can go talk with them, get their opinions on things you've been doing, on big events in the plot and all this kind of stuff, or you can take them with you and all that kind of stuff. But man, it is like, the amount of depth to the choices in this. I mean, the choices you're making in Baldur's Gate 3 is literally you're choosing which content you want. You know, I think that's a problem in a lot of modern RPGs is that I feel like a lot of game developers are afraid to wall off content. Okay, well, if you make this choice, you don't get to see that. Well, they don't want that. They want you to be able to see everything because they worked really hard and, you know, they don't want anyone to be like, oh, well, I didn't see that. I didn't have a good time. You know, if I'd seen, you know, but there's so much more confidence, I think, and it's much more interesting. If you're saying, well, if you choose this, this changes the world in this way, and of course you can't go do the other thing because it's one or the other. If you choose one, the other one goes away. It's just I don't want to spoil anything, but like there's a lot of Cthulhu stuff in this, like kind of a big Cthulhu, like very Stranger Things. You're dealing with mind flayers, okay? The story is amazing, the characters are amazing, the quests are amazing, the choices you make are amazing. Building your character is so much fun. It's as far as just a pure RPG, it's better than anything I've ever played. So, and I'll wait for us to get to Cyberpunk because I want to hear about your games, but yeah, I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 right now, I don't see how anything could beat it for Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. And it's been a good year, right? Jedi Survivor, great game. Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, great game. And those are, I'm really high on the ones I played. Starfield and this one, you know, and then Cyberpunk's update. It's been a banger year. And I think the fact that a computer RPG, you know, a CRPG, an isometric view RPG is one of the front runners for, you know, a game that feels like of the past, right? The game that doesn't feel like a modern style of game necessarily has the front runner to win our Game of the Year, I think is pretty special. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a couple things. One, I didn't know what the title of the podcast was. And then I made the thumbnail and I was like, oh, it should be 2024 best game year ever. And like, there's this weird thing because I think earlier in the summer, I was complaining to you and Matt about how it feels like this, I don't know what my issue was, but like this generation hasn't been that great. And like, yeah. I was like, there's no games. And then I think within that same hour, I was like, wait a minute, this year alone, we've had Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom. We have Mario Wonder coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield.
Mortal Kombat.
I think Elden Ring was earlier this spring. No, that was last year.
That
was last year.
Maybe 2 years ago now.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Mortal Kombat. You know, Jedi Survivor. We have Spider-Man 2 coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We have Alan Wake coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I was just like, man, actually, this could be the biggest game year ever, actually.
I mean, I think it's up there with like 07 and 97 as far as just like bangers all year around and games.
I saw like an article saying like 07 was the best year ever. And I was like, maybe it is actually.
It's really good. Yeah, it's like Mass Effect 1, Halo 2. Halo 3. There's a lot of good games that came out in 2007. Like games that you're like, holy shit, that's iconic.
Bioshock.
Yes. Yeah.
Which that's an Xbox year is what that is. That was a good Xbox year.
It was. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. This year is a banger. I mean, I think it's nice, as you know, we were both kind of jumped on the new console generation early as you can get, day one. It's nice to finally have games that are what I also think is a lot of times pushing the graphical capabilities of this. We'll get to like Cyberpunk and stuff, but for me,
I don't know if we're there yet, actually.
And I think, for me, I feel like we're starting to see the systems pushed in terms of their capabilities finally.
I think that maybe my problem, which is the larger conversation, I'll keep it brief, but I think I don't feel like yet that I have stepped into the next generation. I feel like I'm still in the residuals of the last one, which, you know, Matt always talks to me about, and maybe you've said this too, but Matt's always been like, yeah, the graphics in games are as good as I care about. Like, I don't care how much pixels the skin has, whatever. And I'm always like, yeah, I can understand it. It's a game, and like, you're there for the mechanics and the story, those kind of things. But personally, I love seeing the technology being pushed, and I love seeing your screen went out. Was that on purpose? You there?
Yep. Sorry, I had to shut the door real quick.
Oh, okay, gotcha. But I love seeing the like in movies. I like when James Cameron is doing 3D, even though you know, like not every movie can do that, and not every movie is going to accomplish that, and some are going to fail in accomplishing that or trying to. But I like seeing people push the envelope, and even when it fails sometimes.
Sure.
So same thing with that. So anyway, just long story short, I'm not sure we've stepped into like the, oh my God, we've fully in this generation. I have seen some incredible stuff. Yeah. Now to circle back, I love that you have put 105 hours into Starfield. I'm not sure I can devote that kind of time to it. Sure. I think I'm fascinated. I said I don't want to spoil it in case I do play it, but I'm fascinated by the idea of like how starting a second game can really start the game. And my mind
I'm not
has
sure
so
that's
many
the most accurate. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that quote on paper. I don't feel like I feel like it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But I mean, I think it is, in terms of a new game plus mode, it is something I haven't seen before.
Well, I feel like narratively, like I think since I hear that, my brain is trying to plug in like what's the reasoning behind this narratively. And I feel like I've come up with a lot of fun ideas, and I'm like, I wonder if it's something like this. And so I think I just want to know, but also I don't want to look it up. So I'm in this weird, I'll probably never find out situation until someone spoils
it. Now here's the thing. If you just wanted to get Starfield and play through the main quest, you could probably beat it in 12 hours. That's the only thing you wanted to do.
Oh, damn. I may pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
if you just mainline the main quest and just kind of did the bare minimums in terms of upgrading and stuff, the game wouldn't get too hard for you. And for two, you could just get to the story. And I think it's good, especially towards the end. There's some really cool missions, a couple of ones that I'd be like, wow, that's maybe one of the best mission, like just contained missions that Bethesda's done. So,
wow. No, that's awesome. Well, real quick, just kind of touching upon my stuff. Of course, Resident Evil 4 was earlier this year, which I think is still my game of the year so far. And the new Resident Evil 4 DLC just dropped last week, which I'll be playing that very soon. And I beat Jedi Survivor, which I haven't talked to you about. I beat that like a month ago.
Okay.
I've been saving it, Daniel.
Interesting. Okay, well, we gotta talk some spoilers a little bit on that.
Yeah, so real quick, I mean, just on a game level, it's, you know, it's how it should be in a game, especially from a jump from one to a two in a situation, is that the mechanics are just so much better.
It's like,
why would you ever want to go back to the other game? As far as there was so much more I could have done that was on the table when I left that I felt like But at the same time, it's like I'm just accomplishing, I'm just getting like lightsaber skins.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting stuff like that. So I didn't feel like it was the biggest reward.
Right.
And I just didn't, I had a feeling the story beats, like the side missions weren't going to be just amazing. They were probably just going to be like quests, like go do this and get a lightsaber's color or a hilt color. Right. So I was kind of like, I'm not going to care about that kind of stuff. I just want to get to the story. I have too many games to play. And as far as story goes, you know, I had a great time with it. And I think, spoilers for everybody, I thought the game ended, you know, when you beat the Jedi, the Dark Jedi guy. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, I was like, you know, that was fine. And I was like, this is kind of a small letdown kind of thing. Uh-huh. And then, I kind of kept thinking, I don't know why, but I was kind of like, you know, I was like, I really like this bounty hunter guy with me. I was like, it'd really suck if he went bad. I thought that. I was like, it'd really suck if he's a bad guy. and then, you know, you cut to, the movie has a twist in it,
right,
and the movie keeps going. I was like, holy shit, there's like another 3 hours to 4 hours of this game.
Yeah.
And I love, and I, to me, that's like, okay, this is what I needed to kind of be like, this is a great game now.
Sure.
And I feel like it was just, there wasn't enough oomph in the game until that moment happened.
Yeah.
And, thought that was great. I love, you know, just being a badass and taking out all the stormtroopers at the end.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was a little bit like, okay, do we have to have every Star Wars thing ever, you fight Darth Vader, or everyone's fought Darth Vader.
Sure.
Darth Vader, like the ultimate pushover, because he can't ever kill any of these Jedi. He does kill her.
To be fair, he wins this time. Yeah.
He wins this time, but it's still kind of like, I don't need everyone to fight Darth Vader.
Sure.
And because we just did it in the last game. But
yeah,
it's also, you're fighting Darth Vader. So I was like, it's like that. It was a
fun fight for me.
Yeah, it was fun.
Like, it was more fun than the first one, just because the first one, you're just trying not to die. In the first game, like, it's more of a defensive runaway, and this one you actually kind of go offensively, and Seer gets to kind of be a badass in that.
I kind of had a hard time with him actually, which I'm typically fine with, but it took me a little bit with Darth Vader. And
I think it took me two or three tries, but in just
way
in
more
term,
for me,
it was more
way
interesting.
More. And I get that. And real quick, just to finish it off, you know, I loved. It felt Star Wars-y in the fact that, like, you know, there's this guy and he's the bad. It felt kind of like almost a little bit of Christopher Paolini Eldest, which is also just Star Wars. But it's like you're and it even reminded me of the character of Murtaugh or Murtag and Eldest. And it's like looks and everything. It's like he's your brother kind of thing. And he's turning bad. Sure. And I was just kind of like, I like that aspect of it. And I felt it hurt me in a good way. I was like, I really like that guy. And now he's a bad guy. That kind of sucks, but it made me feel for Cal. And when it was all said and done, I was like, okay, I'm ready for. I was locked in before the first game came out. But now I need to see the end of this trilogy and what's going to happen next. So I think overall, I had a great time with it. I kind of almost think, I don't know. It's this weird thing too of like this as on a story level. We have to fit this into the universe where things are happening that's not super big or at least there's kind of covertly, right? It's on a different planet. There's this Jedi thing. And I just kind of also wish that I wish we could go past this universe part, this section of the universe.
Yeah, no, it was, I agree. I think that's like, just in terms of like a bigger, you know, bird's eye view of it, it is the thing of like, I really enjoyed the game. I enjoyed its self-contained story. I enjoyed the exploring was really fun in this game. I thought the traversal was a lot better. Getting like the midair dash. Oh, so great.
Oh man. You know what I mean? Yeah. The grapple hooked midair dash.
Yeah. Yes.
All the mechanics are
you felt so much more light and flary and then the combat was just just felt better. So much better.
I end up loving
the
blaster. Well, I end up, I use the double bladed a lot. Not double bladed, I guess two blade.
Yeah.
I use that a lot. But by the end of the game, I was really doing the blaster lightsaber combo.
Like that.
I did. I end up liking it just because I could kind of keep them at bay with long range, and then I could go in for the kill. And also, hitting and just like when it comes to like bosses, the long range blaster, we would just chip at them and it would and you would not be close to them at all.
Right.
And so I thought, for me, that was really I don't know. I really like that, but like the choice was great there, and I feel like,
yeah,
again, it's a great game, and yeah. I'm excited for the third one. I just, I hope they stick the landing. You know,
yeah, it's interesting they didn't like really tease the third one plot wise. I didn't get really even in the first one, the ending is like, well, we're gonna go find more Jedi Padawan people and save them, and then they don't do that. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm like you, like. You know, it's interesting. Typically, these games aren't my kind of things, like very linear, kind of on rails kind of games. But because it's Star Wars, I'm all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for what they do next. I will say, you know, as far as stances go, I really like the Kylo Ren, the power stance, just because the one with the two things that come out the sides and you like your swings go really
hard.
That's
a cool one. You're kind of cutting out a little bit. You still with me? Yep.
You did too.
I hear you now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I like that one just because. Every time I got a, because if when I got a hit, it was like half their health every time. You know what I mean? Because the swings were so high. But yeah, I loved it. I love that you can play different styles, and I'm excited for. I think the one thing, if I could say, if they wanted to expand it, you know what I mean? If it had a bit more of, you know, an Assassin's Creed Odyssey where it's like the world is even bigger, and then there are side quests that are narrative and not just like. Go kill that guy or go kill four of these guys or you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be interesting to build the world a little bit better in that way. But at the same time, you know, what they're doing is working and I don't want them to change the formula to try to make it something else.
Yeah, I agree with that. Part of me says yes, because I, you know, I makes it more interesting. The other part of me says no, because then I have to do more next time.
Sure, yeah.
But I'll say this. I think this last thing I'll say on it, really promise, is that the locations weren't as interesting as the first game. You know, for the most part.
Well, I was for one hoping Tantalor was actually a real planet you could explore and do stuff on. The fact that it's just the boss battle was a little bit disappointing to me.
Yeah,
and just I agree. Like, you know, you started on Coruscant, which was awesome. Coruscant was cool. Love being in Coruscant.
Yeah,
Two planets are just kind of, they're not that like interesting. Like, I guess like one's just like Tatooine, but darker orange. And then the other one is, you know, just kind of this like Earth like parallel. So I agree. I think the locations could have been more interesting we could have used maybe one more planet that gave us something different.
You know what I was just super convinced was going to happen and I thought it was going to be awesome?
Yeah.
Was that when you were on Jedha, at the very end of that, they were going to, the Death Star was going to have its test run.
That'd be
and
it cool.
It was on Tyne and Rogue One, and you're trying to escape whenever that's happening. Yeah. And so, like, you were working for Saw Gerrera, and then that was going to be Saw Dies.
That'd be pretty fucking awesome. You see, that's what I think would be really cool about this. What they could do with these stories is interweave them with the stories that are already canon in a way that doesn't disrupt them, but still feels, like, important and cool. Like, oh, I got to play through, like you said, like the Battle of Jedha or something like that in this game. That would be a cool way to make it feel still tied to the events of the universe without.
Yeah. I thought it was a great idea.
It is a great idea. I hope they do something similar to that.
Well, that's the thing. They were on Jedha, and then, but it's like I guess the Imperial forces invaded multiple times now, or they just invaded once and took over and occupied. And
the Imperials do not have a great organization, it seems.
No, they don't. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's just a classic example of also, I think it's a better idea. And they didn't. And I was convinced it was going to happen. Man, it's going to be super cool if this happens. And it never happened. I was like, anyway, last game I'll talk about before we talk about Cyberpunk, which will be probably really quick. And I'll do this for even quicker. Mortal Kombat 1 just dropped a couple weeks ago. I got it day one. I'll say this mechanically, it's an amazing game, and they've kind of introduced a second player kind of system called cameos, which is kind of like they kind of come in and kind of give you some assists, basically.
It's kind of like assists trophies in Smash Brothers, or like.
Yeah, exactly like that. But they're kind of always with you, and they have their own fatalities, and they have their own.
Oh.
And so it's an interesting mechanic. I still think I need to be a better player to fully utilize it. And but I feel like, and part of this is that games have become, almost all games have become games of service in some way, especially games where it's like you're unlocking things.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, plus now games are built where every 5-6 months you're getting DLC. I feel like we're out of the gate. The game is a little light on content compared to previous entries, but also that could just be me remembering the last version of the previous entry where it's like there's 15 DLC characters, more story content. And so I'm remembering that and not what that game, example, Mortal Kombat 11, what it was when it launched. I need to go back and kind of look, but just mechanically, it's super fun. I beat the story in 6 hours. It's like basically a whole reinvention of the story. It's a reboot. And I thought it was great until they kind of go back and start playing with the old stuff. And I was like, the whole point of this was to be a complete reboot. And we're just evolving back to the plot lines of the last one. And I thought that was kind of a miss there, but it's still super fun. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, there's lots of Easter eggs at the end of it. And as a fan who's been there for 30 years now, it's like, okay, there's a lot of fan service here, but still, I hate that my writing brain has just been affecting everything lately, Daniel. It's like it affects everything now. And I get it
because fan service is great when it's done right, but there is part of you that knows what they're doing to you. There is part of you that knows you're just like feeding me endorphins based on like past experiences. You know what I mean? And I have similar, you know, I had a similar experience with like Picard season 3 where it's like, man, these are the lines and moments I wanted. I know you're just like, they're cliche as fuck. And like anyone could have thought of them, but I still want them. You know what I mean? I get it.
I feel like I've scratched the surface of the game, but I've probably put, 10 hours into it now, maybe 12 hours. But I think it's like any game these days. It's a great game if you're a Mortal Kombat fan. Get it. And if you're a newcomer, get it. Because it's a good starting point for the story for the most part. But I think the game will really be its true form in about a year from now when you get the new DLC. Because you're getting Omni-Man and Homelander as DLC characters in February.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And so to me that's neat. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. Resident Evil 4 DLC I'll be picking up pretty soon. I played Control.
Okay.
Had a great time with it. I could talk an hour about that, but I'm not going to. But
I saw a preview for Alan Wake 2 and I thought it looked, I am not a survival horror guy, but it looked pretty interesting to me. Have you seen any stuff about it?
I've seen a couple seconds. I've been staying away from it.
Okay. Well, there's
for good reason.
But there's some mechanics of it that make it feel more like a detective game than like a horror game.
Yeah, I've heard.
And someone described it as their someone described it as soon as I heard that, I was like, man, this is gonna make me Donovan's like favorite game. They're like, someone's called it a true detective simulator. I know. I was like, dang. But that sounded interesting to me. Like, and just like I know it's very psychological. At the same time, but like the mechanics of like figuring out the story was actually sounded like really cool. So I don't know. It's one I don't do horror, but man, I don't know. It could be one that I at least try.
Yeah, it's got a really weird story that I don't have. I mean, I've been playing a few Remedy games now. I still don't know what's going on. And so like, I don't, it's an interesting relationship for me because I love the first game.
Yeah.
It's not like an amazing game mechanically, but even the story though is kind of really weird and doesn't really work. But I think I like that they keep trying weird stuff. And for some reason, I think the weirdness is working for me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the guy who wants to know, does the spinner stop spinning in Inception?
Right.
You don't get that with these games. And I, for some reason, am okay with that, but we'll see what happens. Because I'm tickled we're getting it. It's been like 15 years in the making.
Right. Yeah.
For a sequel to Alan Wake, like a true sequel. And so I'm it's the whatever date comes out in a couple of weeks, that's what I'm doing that day. So
yeah, right. I get you.
Exciting. And let's talk about Cyberpunk real quick.
Yeah.
So Phantom Liberty DLC dropped. I haven't hit the update yet for the new version to install, but I will once Mortal Kombat's done with, which I feel like I get all of that done with all the towers and everything. I'll probably be buying the DLC in the next week or so. And I'm gonna start a new game. I put 50 hours in the last one, which is a big deal.
Yeah, for you especially.
For me, yeah. And so, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to start over. I'm probably going to do an Edge Runner kind of build.
Those are fun. Those are really fun.
Probably. And then I'm going to do the whole thing. And then I'm going to do what we tried to do 2 years ago, is review the game and like, is this sure. game, is this now what we thought it could have been?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every, all signs are good right now for Cyberpunk. I mean, they're kind of having their just desserts in a good way. And I think, you know, I haven't played it either, partly because I'm only 30 hours into like a maybe 100-hour long game in Baldur's Gate, and I can't focus on two different big RPGs at the same time. Mm-hmm. But everything I'm hearing about Phantom Liberty, that it's like a Mission Impossible / Escape from New York style action espionage. I mean, with Idris Elba, love you. I mean, who doesn't like Idris Elba? Yeah. I mean, it looks, and that combined with the updates that they're doing to the policing system and everything that they've done with update 2.0. You know, it's interesting because I was never that hard on Cyberpunk. I had a pretty great time with it in the beginning.
I kind of yes, did too.
It had flaws, and yes, I feel like it under-delivered in some areas that made it less good, right? Like the world was not very interactive, right? You shot people, they just ran away, the cops might show up. You know, it didn't feel like when you do things, the world reacted in a dynamic, like immersive way, and that kind of pulled me out. But the quests were always amazing. You know what I mean? Like the combat was always good. It wasn't like, you know, gang, like it wasn't like perfect, but it was, I enjoyed the combat. And I think, you know, I never finished the story partly because I didn't want to, I liked my character and I didn't want him to, something bad to happen to him. So yeah, I'm very excited. I haven't decided, like I have a David character basically based off the Netrunners, the anime, on Netflix, and I've got because you can get the jacket in the game. They even like put the jacket and all his stuff in there, like when that anime came out. So I've got the jacket, I've got the haircut, and I've got the like everything, and I've cleared out every quest except like two, and I'm like, do I start with that one and just jump into Phantom Liberty? I'm like maxed level on everything, or do I start over? And I haven't quite decided yet. I might start over just because. I don't know. It's a great game, and I only remember a few of the quests, and they're fun to do again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, which again, it's a big deal for me to restart that kind of game.
Yeah.
But I remember when we hit that 50-hour mark when we started talking about it last time, 2 years ago, I was kind of like, we knew there was an update coming to fix some of the issues. Yeah. We knew there'd be like some better ray tracing stuff for the console.
Have you played it like since then at all?
I haven't played it since before the update.
I've played it a few times since when they actually had updated. Because they updated visuals before all this quite a few times. So I'm really interested. I have a feeling you might. I mean, like in terms of like feeling next gen, this was always the game that felt more next gen than any other game really I've played on the Xbox. In terms of visuals, in terms of all these things happening on screen at the same time. There was nothing that had that much crowd density and lighting and shadows and reflections and all that could do that all at the same time and have it running decently well. But it's even better now. It's much, much better now. I think I'm really interested to see what you think about the visuals and just everything, you know, 2 years off. At this point, I think I probably will start over just because it'll be nice to have another 80-hour game to play through, you know, because Phantom Liberty, I think, adds at least 15 to 20 hours.
I'm sure it does. And yeah, that's my problem is that there's too many games coming out. Spider-Man 2 comes out, Alan Wake 2.
It's true.
Resident Evil 4 DLC. I mean, I've got a lot of things on the plate, but it's kind of nice, though. It's like, you know, I kind of stopped being in a game, like stopped being into gaming. Like I always kind of come back to it. But, you know, I think, you know, when I was with Noah a couple years ago, starting him off kind of got me back into it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I have the kids here now and it's like, and I'm showing them Mario, Bowser's Fury and those kind of things.
Right.
And it's just kind of it's a fun hobby that I've kind of I've found more love for again. And like, I'm trying to play the things that I always would have played 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I think on the podcast a little bit ago, I'm in a gamer's paradise, I feel like, because I have giant games on my plate and then other giant games to play after that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in the past, I've been someone that feels like, oh, I got to complete it as quick as possible so I can do this and do that. But I'm taking my time and I'm loving it. I mean, I might be playing Baldur's Gate another month or two. And then, because I honestly, there's a good chance I might just play it again after I finish it, just to see all of the things I didn't do and to roll a different kind of character and just see what the other endings are and stuff like that. But You know, this is the kind of game where if you want to, you can like permadeath kill one of your team in a ritual sacrifice to get like a permanent, like really good skill or something like that. Those are the kind of, if you just want to take a character that has a 20 hour arc, it's great mocap and voice acting, and just kill them within the first 5 hours of the game, it'll let you do that. Wow. And they're like, the game reacts to that. It's like, oh, you did this? Okay. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
so there's just so much potential for replayability. But like, to have that, and then to know I've got Cyberpunk on deck, and then after that, who knows what I'll be picking up. Maybe it'll be Alan Wake, you know, maybe it'll be something else. It's a nice feeling to feel like I know I've got great games to play for the next few months. And that isn't always a feeling you feel as a gamer, especially in the past few years with like COVID and stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm curious what next year looks like. I feel like this year kind of culminated in a big year for gaming, which it feels like people are we're already like in the mid of the generation. I'm like, have we started yet?
According to the Xbox, 2028, the leaks is when they're planning the new one. So we're 3 years into an 8 year cycle. So we're almost halfway through for sure.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I'll say, I think it seems like Baldur's Gate 3 is your probably game of the year, or will be.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing any games displacing it.
Yeah, and I don't know what the actual winner will be. I think for me so far, it's Resident Evil 4 still, just because it's like a perfect game. But the one that could potentially dethrone it, I don't think Alan Wake 2 is. My expectations are reserved, but I think the one that can dethrone it is Spider-Man 2, because Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales are just like cream of the crimp. You know,
now, I guess... My one question is like, how do they keep innovating? Because, I mean, I know they changed the gameplay up little bits here and there, but I guess like, and I loved Spider-Man 1 on PlayStation. I think the one thing I wonder is, can you just do that over and over again with new stories and it be successful? Is Spider-Man a big enough character for that? I mean, like, because it's always New York, you're always
to answer that. Yes, you know? I think to answer that part, yeah, because it's Spider-Man, the IP, it's the biggest toy IP of all time,
right?
So I think that part's fun. And I'm a prime example. They could stay in New York for six more games and I'd buy every one of them.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
on the other side of it, would it get stale? Probably. I mean, maybe. Yeah. But what's, you know, also it's like, when you're getting something as high level as Spider-Man every 3 years, and it's a new story, and the story is good, that's where actually to me it shines, is the story.
Sure.
That I'm like, oh, well, yeah, why would I not want to keep living in this world? Because I love this character and these kinds of characters. But to be fair, Miles Morales was a very different, it was different enough. And it felt like, it felt good. It felt like, okay, this is different and good and faster and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then this one feels like they're pushing. I've not watched anything on this one, but just from the small things I've read, it feels like there's even more interesting mechanics.
Yeah, well, you can swap between either Spider-Man at any time, it seems like.
Yeah, and I guess they're doing missions on their own when you're not one of them. And then on top of that, you have the black suit, which I know will add another mechanic to the situation, which I don't know much about. But I guess how you do it. You have Venom, you know?
You're right. I mean, you're right. I hope it knocks it out the park, for sure.
I think it will. I think it's teeing up to be pretty big. Anyway, how can our listeners write into us, Daniel?
Listeners, you can write into bit.ly/241mail and let us know what you have thought of video games in 2023 thus far. Are there any highlights, any games that we haven't touched on that you really enjoyed? Or are you with us? You know, what's your game of the year right now? Let us know at bit.ly/241mail.
You know, we're not like a gaming review podcast, really. We talk about it every now and then. But between the two of us, we've kind of covered like almost all the big games this year.
Yeah.
We could have like, you know, we could be that pod if we really wanted to this year. So
I was trying to think, even when I was saying that, of like, are there any other big games? There probably are that we just didn't touch on.
Yeah.
That were like, that made, you know, kind of big waves and stuff. But you're right. I mean, we kind of represent different parts of the gaming audience in like an interesting way. I feel like, you know, your gaming sense is there's a lot of people like you that game just like you. And at the same time, mine's very different, but there's a lot of people that game like me.
Yep.
And so I think it is an interesting thing to cover it, because we've kind of We covered different games. We split them down the middle. You know what I mean? And like, I'll take these.
There's some overlap, but it's accidentally though. Like it's saying like I.
Well, and the overlap is you know cyberpunk, Star Wars, and Star Wars. Yeah, and
sci-fi
and action. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's pretty great. It's pretty good game. It's good to be a gamer in 2023.
It is. Which I think now I just realized I made the thumbnail 2024. So there we go. I just thought about that.
You did. I see that. Yes.
I got to fix that now. Anyway, because Dominic doesn't know what year he's in. So anyway, if you can't hit us on Twitter, Billy, you can always find us in the comment section below, youtube.com/G4Studios. Again, guys, it's the best place to consume all the content. There's 178 episodes of Podcast 2-for-1 as well. It's all the cool content, like 2-for-1 Backflash, 2-for-1 Collectors, and you know, just other stuff on there that I'm sure I can't think of at the moment. There's like over 261 videos on there over 4 years. Ooh. So anyway, guys, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I'm Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.